personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
The post Packers over Bears gasp.
Oh my goodness. And a big part of this too isn't even just because there's like people trying to say, well, you know, if you think about it, if the Bears just hadn't won week one, this wouldn't be as painful because we wouldn't have been expecting a win. I wasn't expecting a win. I was on this podcast last week, Dal. You even made fun of me and everything.
I did.
I said the Packers would win. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if the Bears came into this game sending out a bunch of eighth graders that won a contest in Bears uniforms, and we know they're going to lose. Losing to the Green Bay Packers is as painful each and every time, regardless of circumstance, every single time, and I'm so tired of it. And I'm a little bit tired of the fact that Justin Fields did not play well in that football game.
I still think Justin Fields is a mixed bag. You still don't know what you have at quarterback for the Bears. You could make that argument about basically that entire draft class.
Well, the biggest problem is we're on attempt 174 here of how is it that each and every time, and I'm convinced it clearly is an organizational thing. And my proof of that is every other time I evaluate a quarterback and I think to myself, look at the talent on that guy. If he's just developed within a year or two, he'll be a superstar. And my previous versions of that were Josh Allen and Joe Burrow when I was a vet. And when they go to other teams, that's exactly what happens. I thought a similar thing about Justin Fields coming out of Ohio State. I said, man, his biggest weakness right now is Ohio State does not ask him to read defenses. They don't ask him to do it at all. He has two reads on every play. He makes them, boom, the guy's open or they're not, and then he's told to just run. And I said, if a team were to take Justin Fields and teach him and develop him into an NFL defense reader, there goes his last weakness, and boom, he's a superstar like Allen and Burrow. And you see the difference between Burrow and Allen going to organizations that aren't the Bears versus now, Justin Fields coming to the organization that is the Bears.
Now, I do have to say you're being a little dramatic about this. And the reason why I say this is I want you to think about those two franchises you just mentioned, the Bills and the Bengals.
That's part of
it. Hold on. And then think about who their quarterbacks have been for the last 30 years.
I don't want to hear no trash talk about Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton now.
I'm just saying it's honestly, I guess you could argue Cincinnati's done better than the Bills. The Bills have
Is
had
that not more
nobody.
Humiliating, though, that these two franchises that should be equally as bad as us are capable of doing it once?
I'm saying sometimes.
And we can't?
I'm saying sometimes the sun shines on a dog's butt.
Ugh. Now,
it happens.
Some positives.
You get lucky.
David Montgomery looked good. He's the only player that looked like he was angry that we were losing. I enjoyed that every time he touched a football, he looked like a guy who was down by 17 points and mad about it. Justin Fields' foot-in-mouth comments after the game didn't help anything. Essentially, we'll boil it down to, hey, fans, why don't you shut up? We're the ones that had to go out there and lose. You don't get to be mad. We're mad. Shut up, Justin.
Yeah, his whole, we're the ones that practice, therefore we're the ones that should, that really was...
That's not exactly brilliant PR.
Well, it's just...
I dare Justin Fields to look me in the face, by the way, and tell me that he went home after that game and slept with more anger about losing to Green Bay again than I did that night.
Well, it's sort of like Trey Lance, they lose in week one. They look pretty bad. The Niners do. And he'd been reported as like being annoyed that they had kept Jimmy Garoppolo. And so after week one, they lose. And what happens? They footage of him at a strip club after the. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to. I'm not Mr. You know, Peter Pilgrim here, telling you to be pious and not go to the strip club if you're an NFL player. I'm not telling you to do that. But if you're going to go do that right after the loss, don't try and come to me in the next day for the media mandated period of time and say, yeah, I really care about this and it makes me angry and I want to do better. And then, oh, by the way, Trey Lance out for the year, and immediately the team got better because Jimmy Garoppolo was still on the team. Did you see how they treated him when he came in the game?
Mm-hmm.
They slapped his helmet. Those guys were so happy that he was in the game.
I can't believe. And we were just making fun of Trey Lance for going to a strip club. And then the alternative is we turned to Jimmy Garoppolo, who married a porn star.
At least he married her. but I'm just saying, these young guys, and particularly this same draft class, you know, we were just talking about it. Is there anybody from the draft class so far that you go, oh, yeah, they nailed that one? There's nobody.
Not yet. I still hold out hope for a few of them just because of pure arm talent on a couple
of them. I'm starting to think that just out of... I mean, someone's got to be decent, and I'm starting to think it might just be Davis Mills.
But, yeah, going back to the sheer pain of Sunday Night Football, and again, this is my biggest problem with it, though, is there was this turn, I think, and it came through my generation, so now I see it all the time. There's too much logic, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but too much logic immediately post-game from too many fans who actually fear being objectively wrong about anything they say ever. I kind of enjoy the throwback of, you know what, actually, let's just throw every angry emotion we have onto the internet and just vent about this loss for a second. Instead, we get things like, well, obviously we were going to lose to the Packers. It was in Lambeau, but we shouldn't be upset about that because we had young players take steps and we fought back and made adjustments in the second half, which we never did under Nagy. And this is like what the fans are saying online. And I'm just staring at this going, this is for like in the off season when you look back at it. Saying this right now somehow infuriates me more because all I want to see when I log onto the internet immediately after the loss is I just want to see a bunch of dudes screaming in all caps about how much they hate life and they're going to go blow up Soldier Field.
You're a bum. You're a bunch of bums.
Can we just do that for 5 minutes? Sure. I hate the logicalification of sports fandom now. Well, let's just be angry again.
If you want to see irrational and angry, go to the Commanders' Twitter feeds. They're so off the mark, out of line. They don't even know what they're talking about for the most part. So
I just want one day post loss to be as irrational and emotional and angry as I am possibly capable of doing, and then Tuesday we can snap back, okay? Why does it have to be like Sunday night during the loss? We have Bears fans. And on top of that, we got Bears fans that were the same group, very pro-dome. Like, rivalries mean nothing. They're the same as every other game. Bullcrap! Yes, objectively, that's correct. It's a win or a loss on your... That's not how you're supposed to think about it. And this whole, actually, the Bears' record in the last 20 years in bad weather is actually worse than it is 70 degrees or better, so a dome might even be better for the Bears. And I'm going, what on earth? What happened to... No, but we're Chicago, so we play in bad weather. The end. There's no other argument exactly. Past that. That's you just say the be. End.
There's too many... I'm going to clean it up a little. The wussification of the American male. Knock it off. You're Chicago. You're supposed to eat 4 brats at the game.
We should play basketball outdoors in Chicago.
You're supposed to eat. You're supposed to have high cholesterol.
This is who we are.
Sneaking your own pork chops into the game. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm complaining about my team for a minute. We made the Detroit Lions look like the Buffalo Bills for a half. They absolutely scorched the Washington defense. It was 22-0 at halftime. It could have been worse.
I want to give some credit, though, You had to come around to him. I've kind of been on his train since 2017. And
Wentz?
Carson Wentz.
He's putting up. He is not the problem.
Carson Wentz did literally everything in his power to win that football game. So, and 52 guys not named Carson Wentz kept dragging him backward.
So if, is it Bob Irsay, the Colts owner, if he's listening?
Are you talking about Jim Irsay?
Jim Irsay, sorry. It's not Carson Wentz.
No. You brought in Matt Ryan and things got worse.
Here's the part. Here's the thing that the Commanders fans are all over so far. They already didn't really like Jack Del Rio. They feel like the defense has been really kind of
not what its talent level
underwhelming.
Should, yeah.
And that's based on the commitment level to draft first round defensive players. And you've got some good ones. And yet, you get routed by the Lions. And yeah, the Lions are improved. They are.
You are right now a top two offense in the NFL.
But the week before, and actually, I don't even know what to think because they actually kind of stymied Jacksonville, and Jacksonville dropped, I don't know how many on what, the Colts? Yes, and they
That's
killed
true.
The Colts. So.
But, and I should have seen this coming. I don't know why I had the stat in front of me when I picked Miami, New England in week one and not pulled up the stat for this one. Indianapolis never wins in Jacksonville. They've lost something like 9 of their last 11 in Jacksonville.
But I look at Washington and I look at what they've invested in. The offense is intriguing. I think they've done all right. They've been a little inconsistent because you can't go a half with no points and then you know, drop 4 touchdowns in the second half or whatever it was. And expect to do well. That's just not gonna work. But
going for 2, by the way.
Yeah, that was so stupid.
Down by 8.
Unless it is the fourth quarter. Unless it is the fourth quarter and going for 2 makes it a 1 possession game, you don't go for. This is me personally. I know there's some thing out there that says, "Well, this is the formula." That formula sucks. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it sucks is because Washington did it. And it came back to bite them in the butt. They should have been down 7, and then they end up being down 9 late in the game. And it's just, and that was right after they scored. And so you have this momentum. It's like, all right, it's a 1-score game. Oh, it's not a 1-score game because you jacked up the PAT, Joey Sly. Yeah. So anyway, that's just me. Don't go for 2. Don't go for 2 unless it's late in the fourth.
Ah, there we go. We're gonna need extra information placed on that statement.
Yeah,
but
fourth quarter, 1 possession game. That's when you go for 2.
Yeah, and you and I didn't exactly have a spectacular week of pick'em. Speaking of that, by the way, I think we both won 6 out of 16 games.
That is not good.
Yeah, and
it was a weird week, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, all the toss-ups. I think that was the problem. Is I tried to get too cute. I got mad at myself from week one about not picking enough underdog or like weird picks. Just about every single toss-up that happened this week, I picked the wrong team. It was incredible. Every 50-50 game you could think of, I went wrong. Steelers-Patriots got it wrong. Giants-Panthers got it wrong. If it was 50-50, I landed on whatever the... Heads or tails, I called the wrong one each and every time.
Well, let's get into this week's. You ready to do that?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right. So I think you're still ahead of me, so you still have to pick first. Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Yeah.
This is a Thursday game.
This is Thursday night football, and I knew I would.
Can I get my soapbox for just a second? These people whining and moaning about Amazon.
I'm about to be that person.
Why?
Because as it turns out, last Thursday, I logged onto my Amazon Prime, and my internet was being a little spotty. So I got it in SD for like half the game.
You people,
and I went, oh, come on.
You people are spoiled. I grew up in an area right here in Western Wyoming. We had 2.5 channels, and they sucked.
I remember, I think it was like 2000.
There was no satellite. There was no cable.
I want to say it was like 2012 was the first time. My dad actually works for AT&T and had through my whole childhood. So we finally got a little discount from him working with them. They bought DirecTV, and we had You know, this was bigger in 2012, but we got HD for the first time. And for some reason, despite the fact that for the first decade of my watching football, every game was in standard definition, and I saw HD for the first time, and I could see blades of grass instead of what just looked like a blotch of green that the players were running on. Like, that was the difference to me. I'm like, oh, that looks like grass that they're playing on. That's incredible. And now, it's like the first 10 years never existed. Like, now I had to watch one game in standard definition again, and I went, am I watching this, like, through? Like, I've got two glasses on my eyes? What's going on here?
Are we cavemen? I'm just saying, people
did someone paint this in front of me? What's going on?
People are being a bunch of whiners. Be appreciative for the broadcast. Be appreciative there's football on Thursday. You can watch it on a magic little computer that you keep in your pocket if you wanted to. Quit your whining. Quit it.
No. I'm a professional.
Anyway,
whiner,
Thursday game, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. You have the first pick.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland. This one is a little difficult for me because on one hand, I once again think Cleveland has the better roster. On the other hand, A, you got the wild card of Mitch Trubisky playing his childhood team, and the Bears played Cleveland once. Cleveland was technically favored, and Mitch Trubisky and the Bears absolutely stomped them. Sometimes players have these weird ticks, Dal. They're hard to predict, and I don't want to tempt the weird tick fate of football playerness. But ultimately, the Browns are at home, and they've got a better roster. I'm going to pick the Cleveland Browns.
I am not a believer in Mitch Trubisky yet. He had a decent first game. This week, not so much. Cleveland, for whatever reason, I want to hate Cleveland. I've ranted about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they did in the offseason should be considered malpractice. They shouldn't even be allowed. The people who own the team should have to take a year off and take classes before they're allowed to own the team again. Because of what they did this offseason.
And speaking of the Browns, not exactly coming into this game with a whole load of momentum.
But they still have more than the Steelers. In fact, okay.
They just lost to the Jets.
Yeah, but the Jets also have Joe Flacco, not Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's a bum. Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl MVP.
I'll say this. Cleveland is going to need to look at the film and learn how to make sure that every receiver is accounted for on every play. The Jets came back in that football game because the Browns blew three coverages. The Jets scored three long touchdowns because they had a guy that literally was totally unaccounted for without a defender within 30 yards of him three times.
But I'll also just say, Jacoby Brissett has been better than I thought.
This is about what I figured Jacoby Brissett would be.
He's done all right.
Actually, sorry. Coming into the year, what I thought he'd be. After I watched him in the preseason, I thought, oh, never mind. Jacoby Brissett turned awful during the offseason. What happened?
I really don't want to pick him, but they're at home. They've got the better running game. I think, I'm going Cleveland.
Very nice. Although, actually, while I'm remembering it, I just got a text regarding a potential trade in our fantasy football league, and it suddenly sparked my brain in remembrance. Remember when I got on here, and I gave you so much crap for lying to me and then not taking Allen, and I said it ruined my whole strategy. I wanted Ja'Marr Chase or Derrick Henry to fall one spot down to 9. Now I'm forced was the exact word I said, to take Stephon Diggs in the first round. And I said, he's not a first-round player.
You sure?
thus far, doing much better than Chase and Henry are, especially Derrick Henry. Poor Derrick Henry. He's on a team that sucks now, and therefore he sucks at fantasy. Not at real football. At real football, he's probably still very good.
Well, they didn't let him look good last night.
No, and Buffalo, I said this in a chat I was in, they genuinely look through 2 weeks. I said the closest feeling that this team gives me is I remember watching the 2013 Broncos offense. And I said, this looks very similar to me of just every time they take the field, you don't question whether or not it will be like literally you just say, okay, well, this game's over because Buffalo's in it. I'll just assume their opponent is losing this by 20. I'm just going to watch to see if the touchdown they inevitably score on this drive goes to a player on my fantasy team. That's the only reason you watch the Buffalo offense, because you know they're scoring. Like, every time. Every time they touch the ball, they're just going to score.
It was fun.
They're insane. But yeah, so thank you, I guess, for... And then Josh Allen fell to me, too.
Yes, you got them both. You're doubling up.
Anyhow, continuing through Pick'em after... Again, this is the reason my dad likes to yell at me, because I can't take credit for taking Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs fell into my lap, and I didn't even want it.
And then you complained about it.
That's the power.
So, Houston at Chicago.
Now, I think I've mentioned this before. Until Mitch Trubisky shredded Houston 2 years ago, we were at one point 0-5 all time against Houston. For some reason, we can't beat the Houston Texans. But Mitch Trubisky broke that curse, and Houston has fought very hard in their first two games. They should have been blown out in both of those games if you just said football is determined by roster strength. And right now, the Houston Texans are proof that that is a lie. Football is determined occasionally by just who comes out and plays the hardest. A part of me is very worried, because how much harder do you think they're going to play when this is Lovie Smith's return to Soldier Field?
This game's a pillow fight.
How dare you?
Well, just look at some of the numbers. The Bears are -7 in point differential through two games. Or excuse me, the Texans are -7. Mm-hmm. The Bears are -8. The Texans have scored 29 points. The Bears have scored 29 points. The Texans have allowed 36 points. The Bears have allowed 37 points. They're both bad. It's in Chicago. I'm
going to take the Bears in this one.
Well, you should, because this might be their best chance to win for the next little while.
Well, I know the Giants are 2-0, but a part of your brain still says, well, they are still the Giants,
they are.
Right?
They
in
are.
Theory? We get them next week. Imagine how hilarious it would be if this Bears team that's going to ultimately win 6 or 7 games max, and that's been my prediction from the beginning. We're still on pace for 6 or 7, by the way. But we start the year 3-1 if that happens. Will that not tickle anyone's funny bone even a little bit?
So you're taking the Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears. I think this is going to be the Montgomery Bowl.
The Montgomery Bowl.
I think they're just going to feed David Montgomery until both his legs break and he refuses to come out of the game and just keeps running anyway. I think that's going to be Houston's downfall in this one. Our defense could not tackle anyone last week, so that worries me a little, but I think maybe they get back on track being back at home and being against an offense that, let's face it, isn't exactly ripened with playmakers.
You know what? For some reason, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm picking the Texans.
That's not exactly like insane.
Yeah, but usually I have a reason. I don't have other than I think Davis Mills might have one of those good Davis Mills games. That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on.
You know, you talked about how in the offseason, Mitch Trubisky, you said that's a perfectly fine pickup. It's not super exciting, but it's fine. You know what he is. He's a fine quarterback. Davis Mills reminds me a little bit of Mitch Trubisky without the mobility.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fine quarterback.
Still don't know what he is.
He's adequate.
Yeah.
If a guy is open, he'll hit him. He's not going to, like, throw a 70-yard dime for a touchdown, but, like, if there's a crossing pattern and it's wide open, he's not going to miss him. He's fine. He's a fine quarterback. So, and I thought he would be awful coming out of Stanford, so you proved me wrong, Davis. You're
so
fine.
Now, Las Vegas at Tennessee.
This one was nearly impossible for me because, boy, are both of them a little disappointing right now considering what they were supposed to be. But I'm taking the Raiders. Yeah.
I think this last week shows just how much Tennessee misses A.J. Brown, especially in terms when they go up against a team with another elite receiver, which they'll go up against again this week with Davante Adams.
The Raiders became allergic to Davante Adams after they fed him a touchdown last week, and he's on two of my fantasy teams, dang it. Throw to Davante Adams.
I think the Raiders roll here, and Tennessee's in trouble. That's what I think.
Tennessee does not look good through two games, lost to the Giants. And I don't even know that you can just call that a normal loss to Buffalo, what happened last
night. That was, well, I have a brother who is a Titans fan. And the only reason he's a Titans fan is because he was an Oilers fan. So he's just kept cheering for the same franchise. They just move teams or change the cities. And to quote him, he said, let's see, how did he put it? Well, that was a bit, that was a major cornholing is what he said. And then he used the A-OK symbol emoji followed by the corn cob, the corn symbol, which makes it look a little worse. But it is funny, and he's right. That was a cornholing last night.
Yeah, so I'm taking the Raiders.
Raiders for me as well.
This next one.
This next one makes me laugh because Jim
this
Irsay,
would be my suicide pool pick this week. This feels as slam dunk as anything has ever been.
Jim Irsay, you're being pretty quiet about Carson Wentz now.
Yeah,
I'm not hearing much coming out of Indianapolis now. Interesting.
They look awful.
They look bad.
And I love Matt Ryan. Is this his, like, when Peyton in 2015, you know, like, this is his official, oops, I just became old moment?
Here's the thing. Almost every quarterback in the history of the league, and this used to be every quarterback until Tom Brady, falls off a cliff at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is this Matt Ryan's falling off a cliff year? I don't know. I wouldn't have anticipated that. I thought he still had 2 or 3 years left. Time still will tell, but right now the Colts are bad. They're so bad they don't even know how to get the running back.
They started last year something like 1-5 and then almost made the playoffs.
They should have but didn't.
Yeah, they stormed nearly all the way back. So maybe it's just Colts tradition. This is what they like to do.
Could be. Let's move on though, because this is potentially game of the week stuff here.
Oh, I don't think so.
Buffalo at Miami? I think this is going to be fun.
I know a lot of people, after watching that Baltimore game, are still very high on Miami now. That's the new fun thing. Oh, wait. Maybe we were right. Maybe Miami is as good as we thought they were. I'm still not sold. Baltimore, again, like Cleveland, blew a lot of coverages to let Miami back into that football game. Buffalo's defense is the best defense in the NFL, and Buffalo's offense is the best offense we've seen in 9 years.
I would like to see Ed Oliver get back for the Bills. I thought they missed him initially in the Monday night game.
They don't miss anything right now.
But I guess I felt like that scoring drive for Tennessee, I felt like they were missing that interior pressure on the defensive line. But that being said, of course, I'm picking Buffalo because I'm picking Buffalo, but
Buffalo
like
is
you are. It sounds like you're not worried about this game at all.
No, Buffalo, much like I don't remember who I said. Oh, it was the Avalanche in the playoffs. I said this every week, and then they won the Stanley Cup. I'm going to pick Buffalo every single week until I am given any sort of reason to not to. My record with Buffalo is just going to have to be Buffalo's record at the end of the season because I'm probably going to pick them in every game all year long.
This one is intriguing on paper. We'll see if it lives up to the paper hype or if it turns out to be something else.
This next one is very difficult for me.
Yeah, this is a hard one. Detroit at Minnesota.
Detroit has two solid weeks they've put together, while Minnesota laid an egg on Monday Night Football last night.
They looked pathetic.
They came out.
Give Dalvin Cook the friggin' ball, man.
Did that game not give off such resemblance to the NFC Championship game from a few years ago?
When I don't.
That was hyped as, oh, here come the Vikings into Philly. It's a, oh, two top NFC teams are going to go at it. And then Minnesota just, the Eagles' defense just slapped them around all game long. Which, by the way, I still have a screenshot of my friend Kyler, who was on the show once, texting me when I picked the Eagles to win that NFC title game because I think I pulled up a stat that Case Keenum was the worst QBR in the NFL that year, quote, when under pressure, which is with a defensive player within a yard of him when he releases the ball. And his response was, oh, and I suppose Nick Foles is going to light up the Vikings.
Don't.
He said, get real, Feely. 5 years later, I still have that screenshot saved on my phone.
To be fair, Nick Foles should have his own football life at some point, just because it's so unique. Just going quickly back to the Buffalo matchup, news out of Buffalo is that Dane Jackson, the guy, the young man who looked like he had his head separated from his spine in that Monday night game, he's fine. He walked out.
That's perfect.
He walked out of the hospital and he's at home. So,
that is great to hear.
When you saw that, it was like, that's gross. I hope he's not paralyzed. So yeah, gross moment. Good news today. So anyway, going back to Detroit at Minnesota.
I am taking the Minnesota Vikings for two reasons. One of them is they are at home in this contest. The other one is Kirk Cousins has a long history of doing things such as what he did last night and then coming back the next week and throwing for 400 yards.
And having four touchdowns.
Yeah. So I think Kirk Cousins, I actually think this game is going to be a sneaky, like, if it wasn't for the fact that I happen to root for an NFC North team and hate both of them, if you were, say, a Washington fan and you just said, oh, look, Minnesota-Detroit is on TV. Oh, and look at that. I tuned in and I got a 35-31 last-second touchdown scored to win the game, game of the week type. Yeah, incredible. I think that's maybe what we're looking at here, but Minnesota's going to win.
I'm going with Minnesota. Even though right now, so, and I may, usually I go with my gut, which is considerably large. But I'm going against that here. My guts tell me Detroit, but I'm going to pick Minnesota for what you just said, for the exact same reason, because I feel like Detroit.
Will we like that?
I
think is the question.
I still feel like they're still young enough that they're going to have a stinker of a game on the road at some point here soon, and I think it's going to be this week.
Speaking of Detroit, by the way, I don't know if you happen to see the social media drama of sixth-year offensive tackle, and I forget his name now. I'll have to look it up. I didn't bring my laptop with me this week. That's unfortunate. Made his first career start on Sunday.
Oh, I saw that. He's been on the practice squad forever.
Yeah, and it was
supposedly, like 30 years old.
Supposedly this very feel-good story. Until a 49ers defensive end chimed in on Instagram to say, oh, are we celebrating racists now? And then he elaborated later after being asked what he meant. He claims that this particular offensive tackle has a long history, and many defensive players will back him up, of calling opposing defensive players the N-word straight up as part of his trash talk.
Wow.
So.
Well, if that's true, then screw that guy.
So Some he said internet drama out and about this particular.
And you and I don't know.
We don't know who's.
But I will say this. If he uses that word for part of his trash talk, screw that guy.
Now, granted, again, like you said, we don't know if he did. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't really even. As I just said, I forgot both of these people's names already after waking up this morning.
Yeah, I guess I did too.
So. Anyhow.
Next one, Baltimore at New England.
Baltimore has to bounce back in this one.
Well, they just...
they have to.
I think Baltimore has too many offensive weapons for New England in this game. New England is kind of like... it's kind of like a 1984 Chrysler E-Class. It's reliable. It's going to start every time. It's going to get you where you need to go. It's going to handle terribly. It's not going to thrill you at all. I'm talking about the Patriots now, not the Super Bowl champion. It's technically a car. There's really nothing about it that excites you or makes you think,
well, and you've seen,
oh, wow, this is going to thrill me. There's no one on that team. There's not one player on the Patriots that makes me go, oh, man, you got to watch the Patriots offense because of... See? There isn't anybody.
You've seen the stat, too, of Bill Belichick's defenses and their record against rush-capable quarterbacks in his tenure.
Because I haven't.
But... oh, Colin Kaepernick winning record against Belichick. Ooh. Lamar Jackson winning record
against
Belichick.
Obviously, Josh Allen recently has schooled the Patriots.
Josh Allen. Even Deshaun Watson ended up going 500 after starting 0-2 against the Patriots. Rushing quarterbacks have this weird... Michael Vick winning record against Bill Belichick.
Not only that, Lamar Jackson is having a look-at-me season to start so far because he gave an ultimatum for a new contract. Mm-hmm. Baltimore offered him a huge contract, but it apparently was not what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, now I'm done. And they even, like, when people even bring it up, he's like, no, I'm not talking about my contract. We're in a season. If he has a season that he started off having, he's not staying in Baltimore. He's going somewhere else.
Please.
And this last week, yeah, can you imagine him on the Bears?
We would build him a statue after one preseason game.
Yeah, they probably would. They would tear down.
I just made the comment, too, in our chat of Bears fans, too, and I said, clearly the issue is the only way the Bears are ever going to find a quarterback is we need to get lucky like Denver Broncos this thing. I said, we need a quarterback that some other team developed that we can just steal, because we'll never develop a drafted quarterback into their full talent. That's just not going to happen. Well, this might be our best shot.
He put up some just video game numbers this last week.
We lead the league in cap space next year. I genuinely wouldn't be opposed to spending every cent. Like, we don't sign any other free agents. We spend all whatever it is, it's like $180-something million. Spend all of it on Lamar Jackson and call it a day.
It's intriguing. So I guess we're both picking Baltimore. I guess
we are.
All right, so now
I'm also taking the Bengals in this next one for no other reason needed other than
there's no way they're going to start 0-3.
They're not going to start 0-3, right? Against the Jets? Right?
Right.
Right?
But remember this summer when you, and I'm going to pick on you a little bit, you were very excited about
their new offensive line.
The Bengals' offensive line getting better.
It does not.
They suck.
Oh, my goodness. They got three out of the five of them are new players, and they're not even better than the old players.
And not only that, Joe Burrow's got to be looking around going, I thought you guys liked me. I took it to the Super Bowl last year. I got you Rolexes.
Isn't it amazing, too, that 2 weeks in a row, the Bengals have fallen behind huge? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase basically said, okay, never mind. Enough of this we're a team nonsense. From now on, it's us two. And then once it goes to that, they come back, they tie the game, and then have a chance to win it and lose anyway. Like, 2 weeks in a row, they've played the exact same football game almost.
Next one up, Philly at Washington. This is where, as a fan of a particular team and you hate the division rivals, I have no actual logic here. And the reason why is because I think
Carson Wentz be feeling the hate?
I'm just saying Philadelphia is kind of a media darling right now. People love the Eagles. They feel like, oh, look at the Eagles. I even saw a ranking, had them number 3 in the league.
They looked good last night.
But I guess, again, this is where I can't overcome my hatred. I think they're overrated.
And should we pick on both of us from this offseason? Now, granted, we both acknowledged that we thought they made offseason moves, that their roster was going to be good. Both of us had the same problem with Philly and why we thought they were overrated. Neither of us liked Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And he's come out, and I don't know what happened between last year and this year. He looks like Lamar Jackson all of a sudden. He's hitting his throws. He's reading defenses. Who is this? This is not last year's Jalen Hurts.
Well, the bottom line is I'm going to pick Washington, so I have to justify it somehow.
And so that's fair.
So I did. This is a prime opportunity for you to take another one.
I'm going to take Philly.
All right.
Once again, you know what? I didn't like Jalen Hurts coming out of Oklahoma. I didn't like Jalen Hurts his rookie year. I didn't like Jalen Hurts last year. I called him the Black Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Right now, he's throwing the ball like Drew Brees, if we're going to stick with the New Orleans Saints comparison. He is throwing the ball so much better all of a sudden, and I don't want to hear none of this, well, they got him A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown can only catch the ball. He doesn't make Jalen Hurts throw it correctly.
Well, not only that, week one, Devontae Smith did nothing. Week two, Devontae Smith looked pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So
now, yes, he has some weapons that get open for him, but he still has to actually hit those open guys, right. And he wasn't doing that last year. Now he is. So you know what? Sorry for doubting you, Philadelphia. I doubted your quarterback, and look what he's doing to me.
And?
So fine, I pick you.
And on the flip side, Carson Wentz is as good a start for a Washington quarterback, I think you have to go back to the 50s.
That is why I will be so intrigued by this game. I want to see Wentz take on this actually pretty good Eagles team all of a sudden.
And I'm glad this one's in Washington. If this game was in Philly, I think
after what they did to the Rager,
yeah, I think there's a lot of momentum. Anyway, so I'm glad this first meeting is in Washington. Anyway, moving on, New Orleans at Carolina. How about that fight between the Bucs and the Saints?
Why is Mike Evans suspended?
I don't know.
Now, granted, Mike Evans was wrong.
He was.
Tom Brady started that fight. But let's be real here.
Did you watch?
Suspended, though?
Did you watch it, though?
I did.
So Tom Brady's 45 years old. He's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. And so he's instigating, but his hands never leave his side. He never does anything provocative. It's all in whatever he supposedly is saying and his body language and what he's looking at this guy like. In the meantime, you have this video of Bruce Arians, who's no longer the coach on the team.
No,
by the
he's
way.
Just walking the sideline.
It looks like he basically does a sic-em on Lattimore with Mike Evans, and Mike Evans goes and blows him up. And then later on, of course, now you have the technology to read people's lips really well. And Mike Evans is like, "That's Tom Brady. What do you expect me to do?"
to the official. But yeah, well, you could ask Tom to not go start fights with the other team.
I'm just saying.
I will say this.
I enjoyed the whole thing. I thought it was fun.
I don't think Evans should have been suspended. That's nonsense. And no, I'm not just saying that because I have him in fantasy football. And the fact that they're playing the Packers next week, and this always happens. Anyway.
Now the Bucs have signed Cole Beasley. That came out today.
That's the same thing.
Well, I think it's a nice fit. I think Beasley.
Tell me why Beasley's a good fit for Tom Brady.
I think
say it.
Really? He's a white slot receiver
He's
that moves the chains.
He's a tiny white guy.
That moves the chains.
Anyhow, shouldn't have been suspended. Was in the wrong.
Agreed.
But should not have been suspended. It is funny to me, though. Someone pulled up. This is the third fight between Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And funnily enough, Mike Evans has won all three of the fights, but has been absolutely... Now, he had 61 yards, I guess. Though one of those was on a huge catch that wasn't on Lattimore. Lattimore has shut down Mike Evans in every game they've played. And then Mike Evans beats up Marshawn Lattimore afterwards. So who's the real winner, I guess?
That's a question. So who you got in this game?
I am taking New Orleans. They're just a better team than
the Panthers. I'm taking them strictly based off their defense. I think they'll cause a few turnovers on Carolina, and that'll be all.
And I may be acquiring Alvin Kamara in fantasy after this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
don't trade him. I play Aaron this week. Don't give him that.
I might have to give up Drake London to get him. But
you should.
Yeah. Anyhow, this doesn't air live, so I can.
That's true.
Yeah, so Kyler's not listening to this right now, so I can say whatever I want about whether I think I'm winning this trade or not. Chargers-Jaguars, this one is remarkably easy for me. I'm not even going to have to explain it. I'm taking the Chargers to save some time. I'm just going to say the word Chargers.
I will say this, Jacksonville is improved. But
not Chargers improved.
No, and not only that, Jacksonville to Los Angeles road trip.
It's not fun.
That's not short.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, Chargers. And I still, every time, in my head, do the whole Berman, Tom Jackson, San Diego,
Superchargers.
screw you, Los Angeles. You don't even deserve a team, let alone two of them.
Yeah, both of them are winning this week, though.
Speaking of which, Rams in Arizona. I think the Rams...
what a comeback! Kyler Murray... Clearly, there wasn't a Call of Duty double XP weekend this week. I don't know if you saw that bizarre.
Yeah, weird.
That his stats drop significantly when Call of Duty has a double XP weekend going, and some fan pulled that up, and he said, every time this happens, Kyler Murray has a significant drop-off, and Kyler Murray is a noted gamer.
So he stays up all night playing Call
of
Duty.
And so the theory has come out that Kyler Murray actively stays up too late playing Call of Duty before games on double XP weekends.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So, although I still think that's better than going to the strip club.
Yeah. I do neither, personally, but
at least you get to stay at home and no one can see you do it.
Yeah. Kyler Murray, though, it's not the worst habit in the world if you're just going to be gaming, I guess. Unless it's going to literally impact your professional life, then yes, it is a bit of an addictive habit. So stop that, Kyler. It is in Arizona, which tempts me a little. The Rams almost choked to the Falcons, but
I think Aaron Donald has a huge game here.
The Rams are a better football team, so I'm tired of getting cute. I got burned last week, but we're getting too cute and trying to prove what a smart guy I was. Oh, look at all the little things I can find. And then it burned me. So I'm just taking the better team,
and then
going with the Rams.
And then you pick six wins. just like me. So if the Texans and the Bears are a pillow fight, then this is the toilet bowl. Atlanta at Seattle. This one might end up being 3-0.
I think that there will be offense, but it will be generated because neither of these are spectacular defenses.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Atlanta on the road. I am taking Marcus Mariota is going to play an efficient, unspectacular, but efficient game. And Cordero Patterson, I need a 100-yard rushing game out of you.
Again, I think it's a cross-country trip, which I think are red flags. They get overlooked way too much. The 12th man, Seattle, is going to help them. And Geno Smith has been sneaky decent. Even though they didn't score a touchdown last week, it really wasn't his fault.
Atlanta's put up a fight against two potential playoff teams two weeks in a row.
I'm going with the Seahawks. So
very nice.
There we are.
This one, no Bay of, Mike Evans.
Bay of Pigs, as Berman used to call it.
NFL is being incredibly dumb, and I hate you, and you're biased, and you love the Packers too much, and you won't stop slurping their genitals.
Whoa! Can we say that on our...
I'm sure we can. It's it's public. I hate you, NFL. You, the Packers, every chance you get, and you go and suspend this is why. They didn't suspend him because he pushed Marshawn Lattimore. They suspended him because they love Aaron Rodgers, and they kiss him, and they want to have Aaron Rodgers babies. But the Buccaneers are going to win anyway because Tom Brady owns the Packers. He owns them.
And not only that, it's in Tampa Bay.
Aaron Rodgers sucks in Florida.
And Tampa Bay's defense, you said Buffalo's defense might be number one. I think Tampa Bay's defense might be number one. They are scary.
They're quite good. Buffalo's just good at everything right now.
They are, and I love Buffalo. I'm not...
I think Tampa Bay wins this regard. Now, they don't have Mike Evans, but the Packers have nobody. They have no nothing. So, yeah, give me Brady, give me the Bucks, give me anyone that's not Aaron
with
Rodgers.
With Cole Beasley.
In Florida. Julio.
You watch. Cole Beasley's going to have like 10 catches for 100 yards.
Hey, Julio Jones, by the way, for those of you keeping track, averages over 125 yards per game in his career against Green Bay.
Well, and
he loves playing the Packers.
And is Godwin back this week, I guess is a question.
Maybe. We don't know yet. But it's a maybe.
But I'm telling you right now, you watch. Cole Beasley will have like 10 catches for 100 yards in this game.
It'll be a very
cool. You were making fun of him.
I didn't make fun of him. Yes, I just made fun of the fact that that's not quite Mike Evans. Because Mike Evans
No one said he was Mike Evans.
A superstar.
I'm just saying when Beasley was with Josh Allen and the Bills the last 2 years, especially in the postseason when they needed to move the change, that's where they went.
Back when he was in Dallas.
Yeah, he used to irritate me. But that's where they went. I think he has a big game.
I think Julio Jones is going to have at least one play that's going to be my personal favorite play of the week because I love it when Julio does this. You can't see it, but I made a little teenage girl like shoulder shrug there. Julio Jones will...
Aaron's on the cover of Tiger Beat.
Yeah, Julio Jones is going to catch like a crossing pattern or a slant pass. And then he's going to stiff arm five Packers on his way to a touchdown. And I'm just going to get giddy. I'm going to like... Light off. I'm going to... He killed five men on that play.
And then you're going to throw your Bears hoodie up on the stage.
Yes. Now, the Bears never bring me happiness. But boy, do teams beating up on the Packers always do. So this will be a half-happy week for me. Tampa Bay is going to get the win. I'm going to pretend like that vindicates what I had to go through last week in some way. Brady wins.
I'm going Bucks as well, by the way. I think I said that. Up next, I'll be honest, this one's kind of a hard one for me to pick. San Francisco at Denver.
The at Denver troubles me. I'm taking the 49ers anyway, though.
I really do think they are a significantly better team with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
They are still the team that went to the NFC Championship game last year. Now, yes, week one they lost to the Bears, and everyone said, and we can throw Trey Lance under the bus all we want for that. It was also raining. It was also week one.
I blame the coaching staff.
The Bears didn't play poorly week one.
Who on the coaching staff thought that Trey Lance is better than Jimmy Garoppolo? The only reason that they're starting him is because they drafted him.
I don't really love Jimmy Garoppolo, to be honest.
Well, who said you had to love him? But he does a good job.
He's the upgraded version of Davis Mills that we were talking. He's fine.
And then Denver,
he'll hit a guy when he's open.
So you love it when the Packers get beat. I love it when Denver struggles. So I'm kind of the odd man out here in the Rocky Mountain West. So earlier I mentioned about how we got 2.5 channels growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of those channels every damn week was the Denver Broncos. Every week. Because, you know, just that's the mountain team and there they are. And speaking of the suckling of the NFL, it was at an all-time high on John Elway during when I was growing up. And I hated John Elway as a quarterback because I was tired of it. I thought he threw way too many interceptions. Anyway, I can get into that. So I actually love it when Denver struggles because most of the people in the mountain time zone cheer for Denver because it's
mountain.
It's the mountain team, really. And there's really nobody else that close, quote unquote. And so there's a lot of Denver fans in Wyoming, which puts me the odd man out because not only am I not a Denver fan, I hate Denver.
By the way, I talked about how beautiful I always think it is when Julio Jones just stiff arms through an entire defense on his own. Now, this man's done it to the Packers as well, and I always love it. So maybe you will enjoy it as well if you just like watching Denver struggle. But George Kittle is supposed to be back this week,
which is a huge deal.
And George Kittle is the 49er off. Now, Debo Samuel's very good, but George Kittle make the offense go good.
Well,
that what George Kittle do.
Debo Samuel's even better when George Kittle's there.
He's blocking for him because George Kittle is a monster.
And both of them are better when they're both out there because
you
can't focus on one or the other. And I like Russell. Here's the thing. I like Russell Wilson. I think he's a nice guy. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a good person. But he's playing for Denver.
George Kittle might be my favorite.
There was this just irrational. This irrational, we're going to the Super Bowl reaction when Denver got Russell Wilson.
You know, Seattle had Russell Wilson last year. They didn't go to the Super Bowl.
And I was just scratching my head. I'm like, who else on Denver makes you think that you're just going to win what is going to be a brutal AFC West? And that's proven to be the case for the first 2 weeks. So, personally, I think whoever wins the AFC West is going to be so beaten down by the rest of the AFC West, they're probably going to lose their first postseason game because of it. But it's not going to be Denver. I don't think it's going to be Denver. I think San Francisco goes to Denver, and they beat Denver, and the Denver fans who are already wanting to put Nathaniel Hackett on the plank are going to lose their freaking minds, and I'm going to love it.
You know, I don't mean to make everything about the Bears all the time, but Denver got Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator from the Packers last year. The Bears took their quarterback coach, who was reportedly the assistant to Hackett, and he was kind of his right-hand man. And we got Getsy and made him our offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And granted, it's not like our offense has been explosive or anything, but that's because we have no players on our offense outside of David Montgomery. I'd argue our offense has looked way improved over when we had Nagy calling the plays, and we don't even have a star receiver anymore like we had then. While the Broncos' offense is incredibly disappointing.
And there's some
a weird way that went.
On paper, there's some talent there for the Broncos. Obviously there is. But to me, they're not living up to it.
I mean, not even close.
What, they scored 16 points both weeks? They happened to win
against
1 week?
Against two not very good defenses.
Yeah. So I'm going to San Francisco.
So am I.
Finally.
You want to talk about a coin flip for Monday Night Football, by the way. You want to talk about two teams
Right. Dallas has Cooper Rush.
Dallas has no quarterback.
Can't they both lose?
The Giants have no anything. And the Giants have the potential, and I'm picking them to do this at home, to come out of this at 3-0.
That would just be so weird. I didn't know if they'd win three games in the next 2 years combined.
But Brian Daboll is actually doing a really good job. Daniel Jones is not exactly lighting anything up, but Daniel Jones is not the most physically gifted quarterback ever, and you can't argue that this isn't probably the best version of him the Giants were ever going to hope for, that he was just going to come out and say, you know what, actually, Daniel, instead of trying to play like a gunslinging quarterback, how about I just tell you who to throw to because he'll be open and you do it. And Daniel Jones is nodding and saying, yes, Mr. Dabble, sir.
I wish I knew who to pick here because
I'm going New York.
Well, I hate Dallas because I'm a Washington fan and I grew up hating Dallas. But I would argue over the last 20 or at least 15 years that I hate the Giants worse. I hate their players worse. I hate their fans worse. And I just, they really, really bother me.
It's because of Eli Manning, isn't it?
I don't even think it's that because I think I hate Daniel Jones more than I hate Eli Manning for some reason. And I just, this is seriously a game where it's like.
Stop guessing helmet catch.
Yeah, that was funny. It's like trying to decide whether you should get a colonoscopy with the guy's right or left hand. It just doesn't matter. It's going to suck either way. Here's the thing. On paper, shouldn't Dallas win this game anyway because of guys like Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb?
Maybe.
Shouldn't
The Giants did beat the Titans.
Yes, but shouldn't Micah Parsons go into this game and just terrorize Daniel Jones? Shouldn't that happen? Shouldn't Ezekiel Elliott, who I hate worse than anyone else in the league, have a 150-yard game?
Hasn't his downfall been so satisfying to watch?
Oh, my gosh.
When's the last time you've seen him do this stupid thing with the spoon?
He did it just last week, but he's doing it for... He doesn't do it when he's having a big game. Now he does it when he gets a first down.
Yeah.
So it's like, still, I'm going Dallas. I'm going Dallas because of Micah Parsons.
I still have never found anything funnier than, and I don't even remember what team he was on, but the Cowboys were being blown up by one of Von Miller's teams. I literally don't remember if this was Denver, if this was the Rams, but someone was blowing out the Cowboys a few years ago, and they stuffed Zeke for a 4-yard loss on a second down in like 10, and Von Miller got up and did the spoon thing right in Elliott's face.
I hate the spoon thing.
And I've never laughed at anything so hard in all my life. It's right there with when people sack Rodgers and then do the belt thing right in his face. And the belt thing's only funnier because it looks like it comes with the added bonus of you thrusting your junk right in his face while you're doing it to him.
This is as edgy as I've seen, Aaron.
Well, we did just lose to the Packers, so... I also saw that you sent Sage over, like some sort of war general sending in the troops in a Packers hat.
I did not.
Oh, Sage informed me directly when I saw him in the hat. He said, Dal told me you'd love this hat.
This is exactly what Sage does. So Sage is a young man who, he works somewhere else, but he does a lot of stuff for us because he's just a cool guy, good guy.
Except when he wears that hat.
He's just a Packers fan. And so we were driving out to Riverton. It might even happen during the Sugar Salem game 2 weekends ago. And he was wearing, it was that one, because he was wearing a different hat to Riverton. And he was wearing a Packers hat, and I'm like, oh, Aaron will love that. So I said it like that. But Sage is someone who likes, he likes to stir, he would win Game of Thrones. He would whisper something to this person and to that person, and then those people would kill each other, and he would benefit.
See, that's the Sage. Only issue is that I really like Sage. Sage is a super cool dude.
He's a great guy.
If we lived under Game of Thrones rules, I don't know that I would have been able to control myself, and I probably would have just had to kill him on the spot after blacking out in a rage after seeing the hat.
You already would have sicked the mountain on him.
Like, oh my God, Sage is dead. What happened?
So, yeah, he's actually just a Packers fan, and he knows that you hate him. That's the only reason. That's the only thing that happened there.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go.
That was our pick'em for the week.
So you're ahead of me by one pick overall. What about other people in our league? Have you looked at this?
Yes, so we're both down. We have a three-way tie ahead of us for first place right now. I'm at 16 points. You're at 15. And we have three people that are at 16 is currently, you know, whatever, fourth place, because there's three people in first place. That would be Bob, who is a gentleman from the Bears group chat I am in, who happens to listen to the show. Thank you, Bob. Mac Attack would be my wife, is tied for first place ahead of us. And then this mysterious So Sally Can Wait. I don't know who this person is. I think they might have found the tweet I tweeted out and found this. So they're ahead of us.
I think it's funny your wife does so well. I was married once for 18 years, and she tried to help us do a sports broadcast once because we were shorthanded. Mm-hmm. So we stuck her on a camera, and right before we go on, the producer says, okay, you're going to want to focus in here on the punt. And she goes, okay, what's a punt? So,
well, not everyone is in love with the game
and
of football.
I'm fine with that. That's actually not the reason we're still not together. It's just, but I'm just saying, it's kind of funny how opposites end up together. So,
implying that was like you just wanted to clarify, like, for those of you that assume that's why I divorced her right there on the spot, I just want to let you know that's not
the reason.
I will also point out, and we'll go a little bit into something from, also, let me just say, for the record, WNBA season is concluded, the Las Vegas Aces are your champions.
That's true.
Congratulations. Now, moving on, because I'm seeing this sprout up again, and you and I both like Shohei Ohtani. You might even like him more than I do.
Maybe.
And I don't think you are even much of a baseball watcher on most occasions.
Usually not. I usually wait till the postseason before I start to give a crap.
But Shohei Ohtani is having another very good season. Aaron Judge is on pace to hit more home runs than any non-steroided player in the history of baseball.
No. Roger Maris hit 61.
Yeah, Judge is on pace to break that,
I
do believe.
He's
on pace
saying.
To break the American League record.
Okay, yeah, to me.
And everyone from the National League that's ahead of him were Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds.
Right, they don't count.
So anyway, Aaron Judge is on pace to break 61.
Which is cool.
And have the greatest power-hitting season of an all-natural, we assume, player in baseball history.
Until proven otherwise.
Yeah, he doesn't exactly look all that roided, though. He's not puffy enough.
He's a big guy.
He's big and he's muscly, but there is a difference, if you've ever seen it, between steroid muscle and, oh my God, he looks like a bunch of rocks
what's
muscle.
What's hilarious is the other day, the movie Rookie of the Year pops up on my...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh... I don't know if you remember that, this little kid breaks his arm heals weird, and it makes all his tendons in his shoulder go tight, and so he ends up being able to throw the ball, like, and they never really say, but it's like 120 miles an hour. And so the Cubs, who suck, sign him to be their pitcher so they can sell tickets. Anyway, Rookie of the Year. But there's a part of the movie where... It's like a montage of him after he kind of gets it, and he's striking out these real players that are part of the movie. One of them is Barry Bonds, and he's playing for the Pirates, which is early in his career. You should go look at how different he looked when he was with the Pirates than what he was at the end of his career with the Giants. It's like 2.5 times the person. It's absolutely obscene how big he got with the Giants.
Well, and I always think back to someone showed the picture of Triple H from the early 2000s when he admitted he was on roids versus him in 2010 because he was forced to... He got busted and got hit with a failed drug test in 2006, I want to say. And basically, he had to cut off the roids was his thing. So he just had to start working out normal, cut out the steroid. Look at a picture of Triple H in like 2004 or so versus him in 2010. 2010, he just looks lean. He looks ripped. Looks like a big buff dude that has 0% body fat. Triple H in 2002 on the admitted steroids, it doesn't look like the same type of muscle, because it looks like someone stuck an air hose in him and then just started pumping him up. Like he just inflated. Everything looked all like bulbousy. A cartoon. Yeah. Aaron Judge doesn't look like that. Anyhow, there is a very vocal and very large section of baseball fans that are just adamant that Ohtani needs to win MVP again. Because, and this is literally the sole reason, he pitches.
Well,
he pitches.
It's a pretty good argument.
I don't think it is, and here's why. Sure, he's a very good hitter and a very good pitcher. First of all, there are other defensive positions other than pitcher. They act like Aaron Judge is just a DH. Aaron Judge is going to hit 20-plus more home runs than Ohtani. He has a higher batting. He's hitting .310. Ohtani's in the 260s.
My question would be, how many at-bats does Ohtani have compared to Judge?
They're almost equal.
Okay.
So I'm going to continue here, though. RBIs isn't even close. Well, Judge has run away with that, but he's got better teammates. Runs scored isn't even close. Judge is scoring more. He's getting himself more extra base hits and putting himself in scoring position. And defensively, Ohtani is a pitcher. When they talk about war leaders in the league, wins above replacement, they literally always stick an asterisk next to it and say, does not include pitchers. Because pitchers always dominate in war, because of course they have more wins above replacement. They're the most important defensive position. They get a win, they get a whole point added to their war because they won the game. That is a full win. Aaron Judge is a higher war than Shohei Ohtani, and he plays the right field.
I could see why people are arguing, because it is such a crazy thing.
It is insane
that someone can be so good on both sides.
It's not this year, is my point. Not with Aaron Judge being Judge.
To me, if Aaron Judge hits 62, then he should win it.
I think Aaron Judge...
If he's stuck under that, no.
I disagree. I think Aaron Judge is a player you'd rather have this year on any team.
I don't even know if I disagree. I'm just saying I can see why people are making this argument.
I guess. And some of them saying it should be unanimous. They're like, and one of them was the most hyperbolic, or maybe that's what it is. The most hyperbole I've ever heard in a statement on Twitter. The dude said straight up, until someone else also pitches and hits this well, give Ohtani MVP every year until he retires. I'm like, okay, no, we're not going to do that, all right? If he's the best player in the league, he wins MVP. Stop with these weird rules that we put in. MVP in the NFL must be a quarterback.
What's interesting...
That's a weird one to me.
...is a lot of the time, especially in other sports, MVP is also one of the biggest elements of getting selected for that is your team winning.
Which, of course...
The Angels aren't.
Yeah. though he won it last year. Because,
okay,
you know, he was the best player in the American League. And I kind of enjoy that baseball is still sort of like that. Because you'd think of any sport, baseball would be the one that still has the most old heads going...
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Oh, you gotta include team wins. You gotta... And somehow baseball is the one with the least amount of that. Other than maybe hockey? Maybe is at least a little more fair. Where they're just like, all right, best player wins the...
I can see why you're irritated, and I don't care.
Okay.
So I can see both sides, so...
I just think...
I will point out, as we got to close this up here before too long, you and I are facing each other in
fantasy football,
the fantasy football this week, and the initial matchup has you winning by about 6.5 points.
Now, granted... It projects me to score about 130 every week, and I just dropped like 207 because it thinks that Josh Allen, for some reason, will score 25 points every week. Josh Allen is not going to score under the 50 mark for the rest of time.
All I know is me and your buddy, Hillbilly Likes Pie, we had...
Quite the slap boxing match.
We had... Let's just say it was...
It was actually my cousin.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying it was a low-scoring affair, 115 to 110.
And I don't know if you saw this.
But I am 2-0.
I was so disappointed that at the beginning of the week, we got nothing out of the Kyler versus Josh Johnson rivalry. I'm like, what? That's like the only reason we keep you around, Josh, is so that you and Kyler will...
Yeah.
I don't know if you happened to jump into the chat at any point, these little messages.
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, now... All right, so scroll up a bit because now it's clogged up from some people who made some ads, which for some reason pops up. We finally got it. It took until Sunday. Oh, we finally got a little something. Josh decided to chime in, and Kyler couldn't resist, and they went at it once again, and I'm so happy. I feel like that needs to happen every time they play each other. I was getting worried. We finally got some utter nonsense between the two of them. Thank you, Josh and Kylan. I don't know what it is with poor Kyler. Every time those two talk trash at each other, Josh Johnson dropped another 200 burger on him. Well, anyway, that's been the show this week. We'll tune in next week. We'll make our picks once again. We'll talk about everything happening in the world of sports right here on the Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast. You can catch us on YouTube, on Spotify, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.